The word of the Lord in the book of Acts, chapter 2, verses 1 to 12, and verses 42 to 47. It is in the Bible on page 1093. Acts 2, 1 to 12. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly, a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as their spirits enabled them. Now, there were staying in Jerusalem God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. When they heard this sound, a crowd came together in bewilderment, because each one heard their own language being spoken. Utterly amazed, and they asked, "Aren't all these who are speaking Galileans? Then how is it that each of us hears them in our native language? Parthians, Medes, and Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya near Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and converts to Judaism, Cretans and Arabs, we hear them declaring the wonders of God in our own tongues." Amazed and perplexed, they asked one another, "What does this mean?" Verses 42 to 47 on the next page. They devote themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. Every day, they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. This is the word of the Lord.
Good morning, everyone. Great to see you all. Do you know, I thought, sitting near the front, I had this notion we were only half full today, but I look around. Let's pray first, shall we? Heavenly Father, we praise you for this day that you've given us, and for all that we celebrate today, the Feast of Pentecost. I pray that as we look at your word now, you would open our minds to receive it. You'd give me the right words to speak, and you would be teaching each one of us in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. So it's Pentecost, sometimes called the birth of the church or the birthday of the church. I'm glad Derek didn't say that because I'm not sure that's quite right. But because there was already existing a Christian community of 120. Think of Longfellow. I think when we're really full, we can fit in about 120, 130. Is that about right, Graham? Yeah. So when this place is really full, when it's Easter, we're not doing badly today, as I say. When we're really full, we're about 120. That was the size of the first Christian community. That's what they were like on the morning of Pentecost, at like 8 o'clock in the morning. There were about 120 of them. They'd have fitted in this room. They were all Galilean. By the end of that day, by 8 o'clock in the evening, that community was totally, totally different. and not only because it was 26 times bigger. Great return from a sermon, half an hour sermon from Peter. If I can manage that, I shall be very, very happy. What was Pentecost about? Pentecost is a really important festival in the Jewish calendar. It's laid out there in Exodus, when God was giving Moses the law. That was one of the festivals he said you've got to keep. And it was a festival for first fruits, celebrating the beginning of the harvest, when people would bring the first fruits of the land and as a sacrifice to God. The real harvest festival happened later, but this was celebrating the beginning of it. And over time, it had become also a festival celebrating the giving of the law on Mount Sinai. One of those crucial moments in the history of the Jewish nation, when God had given them the law, the Ten Commandments and much more to Moses, when he was up on the mountain and all the people were waiting down below. And that had formed the nature of what God wanted of his people as his chosen people, as his chosen nation, living obediently to him. And that's what they were celebrating as they came together at Pentecost. And God chose this moment to start a whole new chosen people, a whole new community to get dedicated to him. Imagine we're all here, okay? We're full. Long Furlong is full. We're getting ready for the morning service. For them, it was a bit earlier. It was about 8 or so in the morning. They were having a prayer meeting, it would seem. And suddenly, you hear a noise coming through the ceiling of a tornado. Right? You're not feeling the wind, but you're hearing the sound of a tornado. How does that feel? Bit scary? Yes, a bit scary. That's what was happening. That's what they heard, the sound of this rushing, violent wind filling the place where they were. What was going on? And then they saw fire. They saw fire and fire appearing over each one of them. It looks like tongues of fire on top of each one. And yet the fire alarm didn't go off. Seriously, it didn't, as far as I know. Only after that, that bewildering, scary experience were they filled with the Holy Spirit. And they started speaking the word of God. They started speaking about the good things, the great things God had done in this whole variety of languages. What an amazing experience. And let's be very clear, this wasn't the 12 apostles. This was all 120 of them. The whole of the then Christian community, all filled with the Holy Spirit. All speaking in different languages, all speaking with boldness that they had not known before about what God had been doing in Jesus Christ. And there, the building can't have been as closed in as this, because the noise they were making drew a crowd. Word started to spread and people started to come. There's something going on here. There's something amazing going on. Don't know what it is, but everyone started to come. And it was spontaneous. This crowd started to gather, says the text. It wasn't, you know, the sort of rent-a-mob that the chief priests were able to gather the night before the crucifixion. No. This was spontaneous as people came together because something amazing was happening. And they're all saying to each other, what's going on? Because what the nature of the crowd was Jews. Yes, but from all around the known world. You look at that list and you had people from up in Turkey, Pontus, Cappadocia, Phrygia, Pamphylia, Asia. That's all different parts of what we now know as Turkey, all with their own languages. There were people from Rome. There were people from the Mediterranean islands, Crete. There were people from Egypt and Libya, North Africa. People from Mesopotamia, Iraq. People from Iran, that's the Elamites, the Parthians and the Medes. Even from Arabia, what we now know as Saudi Arabia. All over. And they'd come to the feast. And they were all saying, we're hearing the works of God
proclaimed in our own languages, in a whole variety of languages. The Elamites spoke a language that was unlike any other in the region. It might have some relationship to some languages in southern India, believe it or not. All these different languages. And they said, well, have you noticed what the key question they asked was? What does this mean? Not how did it happen. Not just wow. No. Something amazing is happening. What's it mean that all of us are hearing that these ignorant Galileans, they said, aren't these Galileans? You know, just from the north in Israel, a poor area, no one travels from Galilee. And yet, they're speaking our languages. What on earth is going on? And what does this mean? What it meant was that God was doing something very new. What it meant was that God was doing something amazing. The people there represented, in a sense, the reverse of what had happened thousands of years before, the Tower of Babel. There's a lot of resonances here back into the Old Testament. And in the Bible, resonances back between the Old and New Testament really matter. And thousands of years before the Tower of Babel, where people had tried to make themselves important, and God had confused them by creating a whole lot of language so they didn't understand each other. And at this moment, he was reversing that. Because all these languages were able to understand what God was doing in Jesus Christ. And at this moment, he was starting a whole new chosen people. A friend of mine pointed out that when God gave Moses the law, which is what they were celebrating, way back on the mountain, when Moses came down with the Ten Commandments, do you remember what had happened? The people of Israel had got impatient, hadn't they? Ah, this guy Moses, where's he gone? He's been up the mountain, who knows if he'll ever come back. So they'd made the golden calf, they started to worship that, and they started to, it says they started to have fun. And you can you're left to deduce what that really meant. And Moses came down, and he saw what was happening, and he threw the tablets down and broke them. And then he called the Levites, the tribe of Levi, to him and said, show your loyalty to the Lord today. Take your swords and go and slaughter your fellow Israelites. Do you remember this? We don't talk about it very much, but he did. Do you know how many were lost from the community of God's people that day when the Levites are finished? 3,000. How many did God add to his new community on the day of Pentecost? 3,000. These resonances matter. God was saying something really important and significant by doing that day. Starting a whole new community. And we've missed out. Peter explains a lot. But in many ways, the significance of it is seen in the verses that we did read. So we'll move on to them. And actually, we'll move on to the topic of the sermon, which is spirit-filled community. So what I've just been saying, the last 10 minutes, just a foreword, okay? Now the real sermon starts. Now you can start timing. But actually, we read the wrong passage. You did read the passage you were asked to. But here's where, unfortunately, the NIV slightly misleads us by putting in a heading. And we should have started the verse earlier. Can you put us up the first few verses, Ben? Because actually, if we look at verses 41 to 47, we will see a number of things happening, and we will see four different actors. See, the first thing that happened at the end of Peter's sermon was that 3,000 people accepted his message and were added to the number of the church. And it's these 3,000 in verse 41 who devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship and the breaking of the bread and the prayer. That was the response of those 3,000. These were people from all around the known world. They were people who could afford to travel, who could afford to come all the way from Arabia or from the Black Sea. Pontus is on the shores of the Black Sea, down to Jerusalem for this festival. They'd already expressed their lack of being very impressed with the people speaking their languages because they're just Galileans. But in this new community, a whole lot of barriers were broken down. So the first thing about this spirit-filled community was that all the barriers that were broken down. These people came from Egypt, where there was a lot of scholarship. It was a place of learning. They came from Parthia, part of Iran. The Parthians were a warlike people. They were noted for their cavalry who shot bows and arrows. The Romans tried to invade the Parthians, and the Parthians gave them a bloody nose. Never became part of the empire. They had people from Pontus right up in the north on the shores of the Black Sea. A few years earlier, the Roman poet Ovid had been exiled to Pontus, and he wrote a series of miserable letters saying, "This is a horrible place. It's all barbarian up here. It's cold. There's not a decent theatre, library or pub for 1,000 miles. And at 4 o'clock every Tuesday and Thursday, a bunch of barbarians come and invade the town." So the difference between the people from Pontus, the people from Parthia, the people from Egypt, the people from Rome, and the people in Judea, massive, as well as language. And they became one community. Not only were those cultural and language and national barriers broken down, but so were social barriers. They came and listened to these Galileans, who a moment ago, 10 minutes ago, they were despising. Notice that? Aren't these Galileans? And now suddenly, they are wanting to listen to what these Galileans, who have never travelled, who are known to be ignorant grockles, basically, want to teach them about God. And they want to engage in fellowship with each other. Probably with neighbouring peoples with whom they've been at war. Don't know if the Parthians and Elamites ever beat each other up, but quite possibly they did. And it didn't matter because they found their whole new identity was in this new community. Now their identity, their overriding identity, is they joined together as they wanted to learn more about God, as they wanted to pray together, as they wanted to fellowship together, as they wanted to celebrate this ritual of the breaking of the bread that was key to this Christian community, was that they wanted to follow Jesus Christ. A whole new community, breaking down all barriers. And this was just the first start of it, because they were still all Jews, but Jesus had prophesied in Acts 1:8, "You'll be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the end of the earth." This was just the first stage, and before long, that would be happening. Do you know what? Eventually, the witness would even reach a rather cold, dark, foggy, soggy island in the middle of the North Sea. And it's our privilege to belong to that community. The Christian community is at its truest when anyone is truly, truly welcome and part of the fellowship. Wherever you're from, whatever your social standing, whatever your gender, your orientation, anything, whatever your background, that's what was being created that moment. And you'll say, yes, of course, we can take it for granted now. It's not to be taken for granted. It was new. It was astonishing. And a community in which the Holy Spirit filled not just the leaders, but all the members. And they all could hear from God in their own mother tongue. Not just Hebrew, not just Aramaic, not just Greek, not the equivalent now of English. So yeah, for some of you among us, English is not your mother tongue, is it? You have to You'll go home and you won't talk English, you'll talk Cantonese or whatever. And God was speaking in our own mother tongues for the first time. That's the new community. God was doing a new thing, and it was amazing. And then there's another thing happening. Verse 43. Now, I'm not sure about this translation. Unfortunately, I used a different translation, older NIV, when I was reading it. But I'm pretty sure what the Greek was saying was, I know the first part, the Greek said, fear fell on every soul. And the apostles performed many signs and wonders. So that was everyone who was hearing, everyone who was there as Peter preached, was filled with fear, or maybe it was awe. That's what that verse is talking about. And as they saw 3,000 people join this new religion, as they saw 3,000 people baptized, and they saw people from everywhere becoming a new community, people were filled with fear, with awe. It was amazing witness to those who chosen not to believe. And this was a community where not everyone, but some were given great power to do amazing things by the Holy Spirit of God, because the Holy Spirit was present in this community. It is a feature of the Christian community, maybe not signs and wonders all the time, but that we are filled with the Spirit and have that boldness and that confidence in what we believe. Only then, let's carry on, Ben, at verse 44, does it then talk about the resulting Christian community of Galileans and new believers together. And the great feature of this community, well, two things really. We've already talked about fellowship, of them rejoicing, just joining together, spending time together. But the big thing was generosity. Generosity one to another. And I'm thinking, you know, folks have come from all over the world. They decided to stay. They joined this community and decided to stay, didn't they? They stayed in Jerusalem. They probably planned to go back after the feast. And some of them probably found themselves a bit short. They hadn't budgeted for this. So they shared. Those who had, shared with those who hadn't. Generosity is a feature of Christian community. Be it displayed through our engagement with food banks or in other ways, looking after each other, watching out for each other. So we're talking about this community where the barriers are broken down. All barriers are broken down. All are welcome. We've talked about the Holy Spirit breaking out with power, this community being a place of power and confidence of the Holy Spirit. We talked about generosity. And then in verse 47, it was a community of praise. They met with glad and thankful hearts in their homes, breaking bread and praising God. This was a worshipping community, a worshipping, joyfully praising community. And then I've missed out the last verse, haven't I? Because then you've got the fourth actor, and that is God. The community didn't just grow. No, it says the Lord added. It was God's work to bring new people. It's always God's work, isn't it, to bring new people to faith and into the community of believers. So that was a Spirit-filled community. We have to come down to earth and say it didn't last. Before very long, there were some jealousies breaking out between the Jewish and the Greek-speaking Christians. Before long, there was the hypocrisy of Ananias and Sapphira. Before long, there was persecution. But this remained something to aspire to. And somewhat later, if you read what Paul writes about the Philippians, something quite similar happened in Philippi, actually. Because he has praise for the Philippians for their commitment, their fellowship in the gospel. He has praise for the Philippians for their perseverance and commitment to the faith under persecution. He has praise for the Philippians for their generosity Okay, the qualities are slightly different. Why? Because it's in a different place. And what the community looks like will always be a bit different depending on where we are. It's always got to be relevant to who we are and our context. Coming into land. I think the first thing I thought, how do I conclude this? And do you know, I thought the first thing is just to say, let's praise God. Praise God that he chose to break open the boundaries and to fashion this community of peoples and nations and of every social stratum all around the world. Praise God that I can meet a Christian from somewhere completely different and enjoy fellowship because fundamentally we are one. I think I've told before the story of one time when I was on a plane to Nairobi for work. And I sat down and I was tired and I was ready to go to sleep. And then the gentleman next to me started talking. He'd seen that I was reading the Bible. He was totally different from me. He was a black Zimbabwean and I'm a white Englishman. He was a businessman, I suspect quite wealthy and successful. And I'm a sort of fairly minor bureaucrat. And he turned out to be this... A joyful, charismatic Pentecostal Christian. I'm a fairly staid Anglican, let's be honest. And yet we enjoyed wonderful fellowship as we spoke together of our shared faith and what it meant to us. Let's be honest. He did more of the talking. You won't be surprised. But there was that fellowship between two strangers because actually he and I, and I've never seen him since, are brothers. And at the end of that time, he said, this has been wonderful. Wow, thank you so much. And I'm now ready to go to sleep. And he dropped off. I thought, bother, I can't sleep a wink now. And I stayed awake for the whole of that journey. Anyway, never mind. But that fellowship, that connection, when you meet a fellow Christian across boundaries, is there. I hope you can all think of a time when you've experienced it. I bet many of us can. It's been my privilege to experience it many times. Praise God that he founded a community where everyone would receive the Holy Spirit, not just the leaders. The Holy Spirit came down on everyone that day. And that wonderful prophecy of Jeremiah was fulfilled and continues to be fulfilled, where he says that I will put my law in their minds and write it on their hearts. I will be their God and they will be my people. No longer will they teach their neighbor and say to one another, know the Lord, because they will all know me already, from the least to the greatest, says the Lord. This is a community where every one of us today here has received that extraordinary gift of the Holy Spirit. So really today, above all, is a day of praise and thanksgiving and wonder that God should choose to do this. It was not inevitable. But that's what he chose to do, to create this community. And if out of it you're listening to my description of it and thinking, wow, that's a bit daunting, actually, not quite sure how much we live up to it, the main thing is, let's be community. We don't just come to church on a Sunday. Whether we are engaging in life groups or in ministries of the church, ministries reaching out into the community like Friendly Cuppa and the Singing Circle and much more, we're engaging as the Christian community and then witnessing as the Christian community. And let's not worry about the results, because the Bible says it was God who gave the increase. It was the Lord who brought people in. Shall we pray? Heavenly Father, thank you first that we can call you Father. And that you have enabled each one of us truly to know you, not just to know the law and how to follow the law, but no, to know you, the Almighty and Eternal God, because you have filled each one of us with your Holy Spirit. That's just phenomenal and amazing and mind-boggling. Thank you, Lord, we praise you that you, in your goodness and your wonderful grace, chose to do this and chose to create this new community that's spread across the world of people of every nation, every language, every social standing, united because we know you and we follow Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord, for the privilege of being part of that community. Lord, I pray that you would build us, your community here on Long Furlong, as a community who look after each other, support each other, and care and reach out into the local community around us. And Lord, that yes, that you would give the increase, you would add to our number people who have heard, who want to know more, and who come and discover forgiveness and whole new life and hope in Jesus Christ for the glory of your holy name. Amen.